once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely, slightly drizzly island nation of Sri Lanka, where, as always, Jesus Christ remains Lord of all, Lord over all, in all and through all. In Him, all things, in Him we live and move and have our being. And anything that is outside of Him is cut off and dead, dying, withering, just in a really, really bad, sorry state. You know, when something is cut off from a branch, or when a branch is cut off, I'm sorry, from the vine, it takes a little while to see that that branch has been cut off. You know, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, you know, just like yard work and, you know, when you just had to like clear things out and cut down branches and things like that. And, you know, I remember, you know, like you if you cut off a branch, I mean, it didn't just instantly wither like then and there. But if you came back a little while later, if you came back, you know, later in that day, you might start to see some of the little signs of it. You came back a couple days later, you definitely see a little bit more. You come back a little while after that, yeah, you could tell it's dead. I mean, that's kind of the way it is with a lot of the stuff that goes on too with the worlders. You know, when they get cut off, I mean, it seems like for a little while they have something still going on. But as time goes on, you realize that they're drained. You know, and they then keep having to find little bits and pieces of life to fill themselves up. Because if they don't fill themselves up, they themselves, they just wither away really, really fast. So, you know, the need is for them is to stay filled up. It's like a gas tank on a car. You know, that's kind of the difference between the children of God. Well, there's another difference that's between the children of God and the worlders. The children of God, we, you know, we're connected to the vine, to the source. So His life flows in and through us continually. And we enjoy that free flow of His Spirit through us. Freely we receive, freely we give. There's no hold on us. And we enjoy what we have with Him. The contrast to that is what the worlders have, which is basically they're like cars in the respect that they have limited capacity tanks that they have to keep filling up over and over and over again. Because when they start getting spent, and when where do they get that fuel from? They get that fuel from preying on the children of God. They get that fuel from basically trying to suck the life out of God's people. So, you know, that's why they try to game us. That's why they try to scam us. That's why they try to set us up. That's why they do what they do. Because at the end of the day, you know, they still want to exist. And, you know, death is a very scary thing for them, because then they have to face the eternal repercussions for their choices. And the worlders don't want that. You know, whereas for the children of God, we desire life, truth, knowledge, relationship with the living Father. And for us, you know, death is not a scary thing for a child of God. It is not. Because for the child of God, when we pass from this life into the next, we go on from just one state of existence, one phase, one paradigm into another. And it's a beautiful thing for us. That's why we are not afraid of death. We actually look forward to departing from this world. But we know to live is Christ and to die is gain. To live as Christ and to die as gain. To be here is to be about our Father's business. To be here is to be about what the Father would intend for us. To be here is to be what God made you to be. And to leave this place is to go on to be with Him. So while you're here, you know what? It's like, you know, I had a friend of mine in college who's a pretty good track runner. And, you know, one time, one of her coaches told her, said, you know, you got to enjoy the race. You know, she was always looking at just the finish line, just trying to get past the finish line. And he told her, you got to enjoy the race too. Enjoy the run. You know, it's true. You know, you got to enjoy the race. Embrace the race. Embrace the challenge. Because that's part of it too. You know, if you don't let yourself enjoy that race, you are going to end up just gritting your teeth, just slogging it out, when God didn't want you to be like that. He wants you to actually have fun. He wants you to actually enjoy what it is to be alive. You know, the people of God, we do enjoy life. We live a very full life. We live a very abundant life. We understand that God has created us and fashioned us and made us to be and to live in His image and His likeness. He intended for us to be a reflection of Him. So that when people would see us, they would see Him. You know, God's put so many signs out there for us to see so that we can understand how He set things up. Even the sun and the moon. You know, what does the moon do? The moon reflects the glory of the sun. The moon reflects the radiance of the sun. And the more aligned the face of the moon is with the sun as per our angle from where we are here, the better that alignment is, the more that the moon reflects that sun. And likewise for us, you know, the more that we are aligned and in tuned with the Spirit of God, the more that we reflect Him to a world that needs Him. Think about that. Because God intended for you and I to be completely and totally aligned with Him. You know, that audio in the archives, talk about spiritual alignment. That's what God intended for you. Mind, body, spirit. All three in perfect alignment with Him. And in that state, it unlocks something. Now, you know, just because you've gotten into that state doesn't mean that you'll stay in that state. You've got to allow. See, but at the same time, it's not on works. So there is the balance in there. It's about existing and being and allowing the Spirit of God to do His work in you and just be. You know, that's something that I had to really work on this last week. Work on. I had to let happen, I should say. Come to a realization of. Which was just to be. To stop planning. To stop trying to figure it out. To stop trying to make sense of things. You know what? Look, this life, this world, all that it is, it doesn't make sense. And you know what? It wasn't supposed to make sense. It is supposed to be an incredible tapestry, an incredible eternal play, production, display of the glory and of the love and the heart that God has for His creation, for His people. You know, people keep trying to make sense out of that which is nonsensical. Look, just even think about it. Think about the lives that we live right now. As it were, the different things that we do. Think about the things that you do right now for a day and what that doing constitutes in the grand scheme of life, the world, the world turning on its axis, the rotation of the planets, the larger cosmos, the hundreds of millions of stars in our galaxy, and how we're just one of so many. And think of now that thing that you've been doing for your entire day. That thing that seems so important, that is just eating away at your mind and your thoughts and consuming you. And think about how insignificant, and I'm not trying to downplay what you do as work, but I just want to get it into the right perspective here. But how insignificant it is in comparison to the whole big picture. And yet then you go to the other extreme and you go to infinite smallness and nanos past, you know, the atomic level. You start looking at things like that and you're like, my goodness. Just things on a cellular level, things on a micro level, things on a nano level, and it starts getting quite incredible. And the God that made all of this knows you, loves you, calls unto you, draws you unto himself, sets you aside as a people for his plan and purpose, for his desire, for his intention to love you, and that you might know his love, that you might walk in his footsteps, that you might understand what it is to be a child of God, to accept and to embrace that life and that reality. God intended that for you. He intended that for me. And he doesn't want us to experience and know anything less. So when you do something, when you and I do something, not by works, but when you do something, do it as unto the Lord. So if you have a job right now, do it as unto the Lord. And if you do it as unto the Lord, if he changes your job, it's cool. If he doesn't change your job, that's cool too, because you're doing it as unto him. Your life is not contingent on the paycheck that you draw. Your life is not contingent on the trial, the tribulation, the difficulties that you might face. Your life is not contingent or made up of the abundance of your possessions. You know, people make all kinds of plans for themselves. They have all kinds of motives, intentions, and then every now and then something will come along the way and will show people just how fragile they really are. Just the fact that your very breath is on loan by God. And even that is not guaranteed. He can withdraw that from you at a moment. Because it's his. It belongs to him. From anybody in this world, God sends his rain on the just and on the unjust, on the righteous and the unrighteous. God sends his rain on his creation. God gives his breath to his creation. He allows them to live and to breathe and to understand and to make a decision and a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. Light and truth, or the lies and darkness. God wants you to choose and to live with the eternal ramification of that choice. But for those that are his, see, here's one thing too. He does not think about a bride and groom type thing. What groom would want a bride that didn't want to be with him? What bride would want a groom that didn't want to be with her? That whose choice it was. You know, there's a lot of people. It's like, I mean, if you knew that somebody didn't want to be with you, why would you? You know, I mean, to allow for that choice, it's crucial. And the thing is that the people of God, they are those who in their hearts have said, you know what, Lord God, no matter what, I want to be with you. That is their choice. That is their heart. That is their decision. It is for the things of God and for that relationship with Him. Nothing else. That is the first and foremost priority of their heart. And God has created and called and destined them for that. And so then when eternity unfolds, the people that are with Him are those that have made the choice in their heart to be with Him. You can offer them all the treasures of this world, and they would turn away from them if it meant them having to give up their relationship and connection with the Father. No, they would rather have Him than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold, as the song goes. Yeah, so they made that choice. That is their heart. That's their decision. That's their core of their desire. And that's why, too, when it is an eternal union with the Father, it is an eternal union of those that desire to be together. Him with us and us with Him. The children of God united, reunited, brought together with the lover of their soul. The one that laid down His life for them, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to live life abundantly, and to make that choice, and then in His time to be brought unto Him. See, you know, that's one reason why too we go through the things that we go through, is because once you've made that decision, once you've made that choice to follow Him, then everything in the world comes to try to take you another way. Everything in the world comes to try to see, are you really serious? Do you really love Him? Do you really love Christ Jesus? Or would you take something else? You know, for me, you know, since following Christ, and since I've chosen His way and not mine, that process has led to a lot of difficulties, a lot of pain, a lot of struggle, but also peace, also an abundance of life. Also, it's made me stronger. It's made me better as a person than I would have been if I had tried to just go another way. No, to follow Him has been the way. It's been the only way. I can't imagine another way. And for me, what else is there? There is no other way. There is no other path. There is no other way to live the true life than to live in Him and to walk with Him. You know, there's a process that we all go through. There's a process that God takes us through. You know, there is a process that He takes us through. There's a process that He, by His grace, by His mercy, He puts us through. Your God wants us to be made into His image and to His likeness. See, He takes us as we are, but He doesn't leave us that way. You know, He accepts us the way that we come to Him. When we come to the Father, when He draws us, because also too, Scriptures say that no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. When we come to Him, because He draws us unto Himself, what ends up happening is He then begins a process in us He takes us as we are, but he doesn't leave us that way. He then begins to mold us, to fashion us, to break us, to discipline us, to orchestrate our circumstances and our situations in life to make us what he desires us to be. And you just got to keep holding on. You got to hold on to his feet. You got to trust him. Because you never let go. No matter what you face, you never let go. But you know what? Be real, too. Listen. Be real. When you face the trials of all kinds, you got to be real with them. You know, I for myself, I struggled with that for a while. What part of that struggle was like, I mean, I would pray, but I wouldn't really pray. You know, I would pray, but I wouldn't really pray. I wouldn't really, you know, bare my heart before God. I would just sort of go through a cursory prayer of just sort of like, you know, just sort of doing the ritual, saying the thing. It took a while. It took God putting me through certain situations. That word's just horrible to the point where I had to, at the core of my being, cry out. Say, God, what is this? What is going on? You know, what do you want from me? What do you expect from me? What am I supposed to do? Lord, help me. I can't do this. I don't want to do this. But if you help me, if you strengthen me, I can go through anything. I know that. I've seen that. And you know what he does? He helps you. He meets you where you're at. He shows you. He gives you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He creates favor for you where there was none. He creates an opportunity where there wasn't one. He creates a door where there isn't anything. Now, you and I are called to rise to another level. There is no other way. You can't do this on your own. You can't walk through this life on your own. You need him. Because you know why? Because we've said it, this scripture a lot before in the Proverbs. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know why? Because you can't do it on your own, because your thinking is hacked. The devil already knows it. The devil already knows what you would think and what you would do, and he has his traps and his setups all along the way. Whereas God will direct you, will lead you, will guide you out of it and through it all. He will make the way where there is no way. He will show you when you don't know what to do. God will continue to lead, guide, direct anyone that puts their trust in him. He will not allow anyone to be put to shame who has put their heart and their trust in him. If you have put yourself on the line for him, he's always going to be there for you. I've seen it time and time and time again. And it's not going to change. God's pattern, God's method of operation is not going to change. He is going to make sure that you have what you need, when you need it, where you need it, how you need it, with whom you need it from. He's going to do it. And you got to not worry about it. You got to not stress. You got to not try to figure it out on your own. You got to trust him. You got to let him be Lord. And you be his son. You be his daughter. You be what God made you to be. Let God be God. And you take up the role that he has for you, which is to be a trusting child of God. And to do that which he has put in front of you. And just be. Just be. And watch God work on your behalf. Watch what he does. And whatever he has for you to do, do all things as unto the Lord. And know that your salvation draweth nigh. The word, it is in you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. He's put it there. Trust it. trust him because he loves you. So with that, hey, God bless you guys. Love you, love you, love you. Hey, drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you. So catch up with you again sometime really soon. Keep on keeping on. God bless you. Talk to you later. Bye.